people and animals on the ground, and some of the bodies were being mauled by dogs. The smell was unbearable. Along the safe corridor, people who had been uprooted found themselves surrounded by the occupation forces on all sides. Randa said the tanks were pointing at us and Israeli troops were shooting at us. We held our IDs in our hands, raising them high. Randa said that what terrified me most was how the Zionist regime was kidnapping many youths. I was afraid that they would kidnap Aziz. He's my only son and I have no one in the world but him. Eventually, Randa and Aziz made it through a military checkpoint. They were able to take a donkey-drawn cart on the final stage of their journey toward Khan Yunis. The small house where they took shelter in that city was already hosting more than 55 displaced people. Randa said, "There was no gas for cooking. We had to use firewood. We had very little to eat, often just canned food." Randa and Aziz had not been in Khan Yunis long when the Zionist regime began ordering evacuations from some of the surrounding areas, including the area where they had taken shelter. When the Zionist regime destroyed the nearby Hamad city, one of Gaza's newest residential developments, the explosions were so powerful that they caused damage to the house where Randa and Aziz were staying. Once again, they had to move. Randa tried to find an apartment to rent in Rafah, Gaza's southernmost city, but was unsuccessful. She said, "Even those who found apartments to rent had to pay huge sums of money. Unfortunately, I lost my bank card during my first displacement, and now I have very little cash." With the help of relatives, Randa and Aziz found a shipping container in Rafah that provides them the most basic of shelter. They do not have proper blankets now. The temperatures have decreased. Feeding themselves is a major ordeal. She said, "I feel like I am in a nightmare. I hope it will end soon." According to Mehr News Agency, the United States and the European countries have armed the Zionist-Israeli regime to the teeth to have a hand in the ongoing catastrophe in the Gaza Strip. The West, centered around the United States, has provided extensive political and military support to the occupying Zionist regime since the beginning of its aggressive war on the Gaza Strip on October 7th. Over the two-month period, Washington has provided $3.8 billion military aid to Tel Aviv, and it is considered the biggest supporter of the Zionists during the Gaza War. The huge American financial aid and weapons played a major role in the ongoing genocidal war and the catastrophe in Gaza. Since the launch of Al-Aqsa Storm Operation on October 7th and the larger-scale war by the Zionist regime on the residential, medical, and educational centers in the Gaza Strip, a day after, Western regimes, especially the United States, rushed to Tel Aviv to give a hand to the regime in its genocidal campaign. Ben-Gurion Airport and American airports witnessed a lot of flights coming and going between Tel Aviv and Washington to transfer all kinds of arms, ammunition, and bombs. During the first days of the war against Gaza, the U.S. earmarked $14.3 billion in military aid to support the Zionist regime. This amount is one-third of the budget needed by the regime for the war against the Gaza Strip. According to the American newspaper Wall Street Journal, during the war in Gaza, the United States provided the Zionist regime with tens of thousands of weapons and artillery shells, as well as mortar bombs, to help expel Hamas from Gaza. Apart from weapons, bombs and artillery shells, the U.S. has sent dozens of military planes to this region. On the 23rd day since the start of the war, new sources wrote that the U.S. had sent more than 50 military cargo planes carrying troops to West Asia region.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
IRIB English Radio presents
Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light.
The Creator made Adam in his image, then placed the world in his care. May you walk alongside the Creator in righteousness.
God of Abraham, take my child into thy hands, that he may live to thy service.
God has spoken to us before, through Abraham, Noah, Moses, and through Jesus Christ. Why should we be so surprised that God speaks to us now through Muhammad?
Viewpoint.
A critique of movies with religious themes on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to another episode of the program Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and my two guest speakers, as always, Brother Yasser and Sayyid Abdullah. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Yasser, and welcome to the program again.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. It's always a pleasure being with you, Brother Muhammad Jawad.
Welcome. And Sayyid Abdullah, assalamu alaikum, greetings to you.
Wa alaikum salam and greetings back to you, bro.
Thank you very much. You know, we started criticizing the movie Satanic, directed by Jeffrey Hunt, produced in 2016. In the previous episode, and of course we haven't come to the end of its critique, so let's take a listen to a part of this movie and then we'll be back with its criticism. Don't go away.
Is it real?
It's mummified, taken from the body of a convicted child murderer, killed a 10-year-old girl back in Modesto in 85.
Satanic panic. Cases like this all over Southern Cali, right?
Panic was a myth. Killer and a pedophile. Satan had nothing to do with it.
Yet, here he is, on display in your shop.
Yo, how much?
Not for sale.
What about this?
You know Coptic Greek?
I can read.
You need the accent for the incantations. Wouldn't work for you.
Well, I guess you're not ready for the dark embrace.
You see his tattoo?
Yeah, upside down cross. Very original.
Back to the program Viewpoint on RIB English Radio. This is the movie critique program. Dealing with movies with religious themes. One of those movies, as I explained at the beginning of this episode, before the break, was Satanic, which was produced in 2016, directed by Jeffrey Hunt. Brother Yasser, you know, in those movies which try to portray Satanism or hovers around this concept, Satanism, they always, try to show a kind of sign or an emblem signifying Satanism, right? This is a kind of upside down
triangle.
Cross, right? What's with this sign? What's with this logo? Why did they, choose such a sign? I mean, they took it from Christianity, but switched it or set it upside down. Why couldn't they come up with something quite new as their own religion?
Bismillah.
So-called religion.
Yeah. As we mentioned, I think in our last segment or in our last episode, that there has to be this kind of yin yang kind of thing in the world.
Yes.
So again, you can look at it at that way, that obviously understanding that Satanism is an offshoot from Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
In essence, if you look at all the exorcism movies, the majority of which we've watched, you see there's a big Catholic exorcist or a Catholic kind of, what do you want to call it, influence on these movies. Because
mm-hmm.
the exorcist is always a Catholic priest.
Exactly.
From the Vatican or from Rome or from yeah. Naples or from somewhere. Right? So
as far as I'm concerned, I haven't seen any movies with the Judaism actually supporting exorcism and stuff like that, right?
It would be funny.
Only Christians.
And most of the producers of the movies are actually Jews themselves. It's something good to actually research.
Yeah.
So why is it they promoting this? Anyway, that's another issue on itself.
Why did it, so if the Jews are behind such movies or backing such movies, why did they come to the light themselves? Like they put Christians in front.
Yeah, I mean, like for example, so that's a different question altogether. But again, the sign issue is that obviously trying to show an opposite to God, you take the same symbol that is showing of God and you turn it around. So it's like, I don't know if you've seen this. There's the diagram of the worlds. So you have a triangle going up that mm-hmm. shows unity, coming down to multiplicity.
Yes.
But then you switch it.
Uh-huh.
So it becomes going downwards. So right. It becomes outside and it becomes dark. It becomes, you know, deviant.
Uh-huh.
So it's the same, maybe the same type of idea that you've taken something that meant something holy, something light, something beautiful, and you switched it to show the other side of it.
Mm-hmm.
So that may be there. Again, I don't know exactly where that symbol comes from. And if you see that the Jewish cross, the Jewish 6-point star, this is a 5-point star. There's another. But again, your question on this, again, it may be to kind of put the attention away from certain things, to kind of either, for example, in one of these things, you see that, okay, is this what Christianity is all about? I mean, you make a Christian feel, you know, low. Like, okay, is this what Christianity is all about fighting something that is all metaphysical, something that may not even exist all, you know, hocus pocus type of things. So you make a Christian feel, you know, lax, basically, in his own religion. Mm-hmm. Like, is this what Christianity is about?
And we also see this, of course, in a deviated version of that, like with the Nazi sign. Again, you see a cross which is broken, like at either end, right? So
these signs like that, again, they represent something. Like, for example, it is actually a nice sign. The original sign, I remember someone told me this. Maybe one day we can discuss a good series called... it's a series. It's a mini series about this, a Christian community. A very good one. Midnight Mass. It's a series. About 8 to 10 episodes. It's really good.
What's it about?
Again, about this this demon worship, but showing it in a form of it being a miracle from God.
Oh.
And how easy a person's belief can be completely flipped. Or how naive people can be.
Uh-huh.
And they see one miracle, this is it, but not understanding that it's coming from somewhere else, which Satanism itself is all about.
Uh-huh.
Yes, there are certain things that Satan will give you.
Right.
There is no doubt about it.
There are some wishes granted.
No, not granted. You will be given something.
Yeah.
You've done me a favor. No, I scratch your back, you scratch my back.
Yeah, true.
Right? So there is something. There is a transaction taking place between the person and the devil.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt about it.
I see.
What actually happens is another issue.
Yeah.
But so the symbol here of the old Christians is, I don't know if you've seen it, is a fish. You know that fish that does this?
Yeah.
That fish was the sign of Christians who are hiding amongst the people to show that this is their thing. It actually has a symbol of meaning, Jesus Christ, our last Savior in Greek.
I see.
That old fish that we draw in school?
Yeah.
It's a Christian
sign. I've
heard
about it, yeah. Thank you. Let's take a short break by listening to a part of the movie Satanic, directed by Jeffrey Hunt. Produced in 2016, and then we'll be back with this critique. Don't go away.
I can feel her. I feel Lainey.
We tried to summon her. We use this.
She's beyond that. We can reach her. I can show you how.
What do you mean?
She means she can summon, right?
I can do a lot of things. I just need willing others to help me.
We're willing?
No, we're not.
Chloe, come on.
Don't you want to know where she went?
She's dead.
There's no death. Just transition. I can show you. Take my hand.
Back to the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio, with me, Mohammed Jawad, hosting this program, and Brother Yasser and Syed Abdullah, my guest speakers, helping me criticize the movie Satanic, directed by Jeffrey Hunt and produced in 2016. Syed Abdullah, this Satanist girl claims in that part of the movie that she can summon a dead person who committed suicide in the very room where she committed suicide a couple of years ago. Is summoning the dead possible? Is it religiously, or rather Islamically, legitimate?
Well, first of all, is it possible to summon a dead person? From Islamic texts, yeah, it is possible to be able to speak to the dead. But can anyone do it? No. Is it something that it's, you know, that you can just read Hocus Pocus and some dead person will appear in front of you? No. So there is some sort of communication happens with the dead for those who have the capacity or the ability to do so. For example, we read many narrations from the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, what they speak to the dead. Or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi done that in one of the battles. Amir al-Mu'minin done that in the battle of Safin. And either we speak to the dead and people will say to the imam, like, who are you talking to? It's like, you don't hear me, but they do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they can hear the dead back. And also we have a lot of mystics currently, past and present, who do have this ability as well to communicate with the dead.
But what about the demons or jinns or Satan himself trying to help a person actually communicate with the dead person, so that following the line of reasoning that Brother Yasser had just before the break, like, Satan actually gives something, some benefits, benefits to the
now
person.
Now, we do understand. Like I said, we do understand through the texts that we have that the mu'mineen, the believers, those who have reached a level of enlightenment, they have the capacity to communicate with the dead.
Mm-hmm.
Does shaitan and the devil have that capacity? That's a different story.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have any proof that shaitan can communicate. But what shaitan can do, because, I mean,
he can at least trick the
person. Exactly. He can trick you. Because shaitan,
into thinking that.
Yeah.
That,
and besides, shaitan knows what you think.
Yeah.
He knows what's inside you. He knows your history. He knows your past. And maybe even they have a bit of window to the future. They can tell you information which will coincide with what actually is happening to you.
Yeah.
And then you would take it as a truth. Or maybe even shaitan or demon or devils, maybe they have also an insight into the barzakh as well. They can tell things.
Yes.
But what they will be able to summon the dead person himself, like I said, this is a questionable, that I have to find a text that supports this argument. So far, I haven't seen anything, so I wouldn't go with it. But as far as saints in our side of story, they do have that capacity.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Syed Abdullah. Let's take a short break by listening to a part of the movie Satanic, directed by Jeffrey Hunt, producing 2016, and then we'll be back with his question and critique. Don't go away.
God, were people really murdered here?
Bloody and cold.
Say Charlie.
Charlie!
Come on, L.A. for two nights and then Coachella, right?
Satanic tourism, I have to take this seriously?
Cheer up, okay?
Yeah. Swear St. Luke's.
Devil face.
Room 204.
This is Lainey Gore's room.
Who the hell's Lainey Gore?
One of the early sisters of LaVey's Church of Satan. You slit her throat here.
What? You guys really want to stay here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Lainey Gore.
Lainey Gore.
Back to the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio, with me, Mohammed Jawad, hosting this program, and Syed Abdullah, Brother Yasser, my guest speakers, helping me criticize the movie Satanic, produced in 2016, directed by Jeffrey Hunt. Brother Yasser, I want to ask you a very general question about the concept of this movie, where we see such practices, such cult rituals, basically. What's your whole idea about these kinds of occult rituals? Can they get somebody killed? I mean, are they dangerous?
Definitely. You're messing with something that you shouldn't be messing with. The world that we live in is very complex. There's a lot of different things at play.
But it's very much tempting.
That's the thing, though, because a human being is inquisitive by nature.
Yeah.
If there is something outside of my realm, I want to know. Not understanding, you know, what that particular realm is or what the particular, or what beings live in that realm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have a very simplistic view of the world.
Yes.
Because our knowledge is very simplistic and very limited.
Yes.
You know, if you look at some of the, I think, the Sayyid mentioned some of the Urafa and some of the mystics and the saints, even some of the divine philosophers, those who actually went into and saw, literally saw the other realms, saw mm-hmm. worlds. You know, do we yes. have hadith on this?
Yes, I know.
You know, so yeah. they went on the right way, on the divine path, but what is known as riyadat and practice and sayru suluk or spiritual wavering, which is always very difficult, but they reached it. Whereas we as human beings who want to also know, and, want to take a shortcut.
Yeah, and they also want to make sure that they are safeguarded when
exactly.
they go along that journey.
Because they're safeguarded, they have a special teacher. Yes. One of the conditions of their journey is to have
exactly.
a guide who himself has gone.
Yeah.
A guru, if you want to call yeah. it. So they have one in this side as well, but that particular is not someone who's done it. He's someone who has been deceived, someone who is a tool in the hands
yeah.
of the devil.
Yeah.
So like one of the things that we notice a lot about these cults is that they think that they are controlling the devil, when in fact it is not. It is the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
And you see this in many different places, especially even countries today. You can still notice this.
Yeah.
You can still see it.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Brother Yasser. And thank you very much, Sayyid Abdullah, for your nice comments and answers to the questions. Regarding the movie Satanic producing 2016, directed by Jeffrey Hunt, with me, Muhammad Jawad, all of us trying to criticize this movie with a religious theme, especially hovering around Satanism. Thank you very much for listening to us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
I feel Lainey. I can reach her.
What do you mean?
She means she can summon, right?
I just need willing others to help me.
Satan is Lucifer, just in day, just in day.
Et Satanas, quale sovitot, Lucifer illumine. The muse of earth be here with me. And now we travel from flame to flame.
I'll see you soon.
What the hell was that? Maybe we should just blow this whole thing off and go to Coachella.
She said she would be the first and the rest would be summoned.
Oh my God.
Something happened in that hotel room and it's still happening now. What is happening?
Don't you see? We all made the choice.
Welcome to La La Land, darling.
Food for thought.
Hello, everyone. Today, on the first of the month of Jamadil Thani, we present you a statement from Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her, when she told Muslims about perceived signs of weakness of faith among them. When God perceived the nations divided into different religions, deifying fire and worshipping idols and rejecting him in spite of their intellect and knowledge, God the Majestic guided and enlightened them from darkness through my father Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, and removed the curtains of ignorance from their hearts and illuminated their eyes, relieving them from blindness.
This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Palestine industrial sector. Part 2. Three years after the Gaza war, Adel still waiting for the reconstruction of his house to come to an end after a long suppression.
We are working based on the fact that the future will be better, God willing. We prepare what we can. I have some machines that I can secure, some in my brother's house, and some are at my friend's stores. This means I will try to arrange and to resume work in the factory. Of course, I will bring them back to the factory so that we resume the work we used to do. Palestinian human expertise and resources exist. Human resources are the most important element of production factors and is competitive and in transition from quantitative to qualitative side. Some goods were significantly competitive and were exported to Europe, like Spain as well as Italy, where they competed with some Spanish and Italian goods.
Furniture is one of those most internationally competing commodities of Palestine. Gaza is unique among all other Palestinian cities when it comes to furniture. This line of industry depends on creativity and amusement, whereas that's the case with Mohammed Mujtaha's company that gained admiration of one European country that was ready to host the company in one of the key exhibitions held in that state.
I took part in the exhibition in the German city of Cologne, and I wasn't overwhelmed with the furniture that I have seen, because with our capacity, we can make better than that. The Germans were impressed by our excellent goods and industry, that they promised to allow us to actively participate in the exhibition and take goods from Gaza to the city of Cologne exhibition in 2013.
Mohammed Mujtaha's furniture factory, erected from under the rubble too, after being destroyed by Israeli occupation army north of Gaza. The army that insists to ruin every landmark that expressed life and beauty.
Mujtaha Company was founded in 1978 as a family business with two or three workers. Till before the war, we had 40 workers at Mujtaha Furniture Company for house, hotel, and office furniture, along with everything related to furniture and wood. The factory was destroyed during the war, and we came back empty-handed, just like we started. The Israeli occupation destroyed more than 450 industrial establishments in the Gaza Strip. Those facilities were behind the Israeli occupation army during its invasion of the Gaza Strip. And at the moment of withdrawal from the Gaza Strip, they destroyed those factories, as they stayed in most of them during the war.
After the war, Mohammed Mujtaha managed to rebuild his factory and equip it with the needed machinery. considering the destruction caused by the Israeli occupation army as a collateral incident that won't inhibit the continuation of work.
We have no other option. Where will the workers and I go if I didn't build another factory and work therein? I am compelled to create another factory or two or three because I don't have any other country to work in.
Remaining in Palestine and the reconstruction highlighted the ability of Palestinians to survive, no matter what it takes. Hormuz's family washing machine factory was targeted twice by Israeli occupation army war jets, but the workers were able to fix the factory, while some destruction signs are still evident while they continue their work.
I was the first to introduce stainless steel in all sizes to Gaza. We received it in the form of sheets from the Israeli occupation through rolls weighing 8 to 10 tons each that we cut to make a washing machine from A to Z. The Israeli occupation targeted me twice while I just work in stainless steel. We closed the shop on the first day of the war, the 27th of December, and went back home thinking it's a raid and that things will calm down within an hour or two. We were surprised after Isha prayer the next day that the shop was targeted. We went by car to see what happened. We found everything destroyed. We were determined to run the factory again, so we removed the rubble and cleaned the place to get back to work. We worked for 2 days, then the factory was targeted again.
As said by people in charge, this workshop contributed to providing consumers with washing machines despite the Israeli-imposed siege on Gaza. The workshop could even export its products abroad before the war on Gaza.
We could break the siege by providing stainless steel material and offering our production to the consumer so as not to feel the siege. For this reason, we were among the first targets on the list that the Israeli occupation targeted. The washing machine that we are talking to you about is that you have just seen. It had entered Sudan en route to Ethiopia. This means it's a first class in Gaza. This is something we are proud of, as we are proud of our customers as well.
There is no doubt that the workshop was affected by the destruction, that it is hard now to operate it the same way as before.
I used to have 15 workers in all work fields, of whom some worked on the pistons and washing machines. The number of workers has become 2 today as a result of the closure of the West Bank market and deterioration of the economic situation here. The shelling affected everything, whereas it destroyed new scissors we bought in addition to the generator and the full-time automatic saw that used to operate at night and start to cut and produce while I was home. The Israeli occupation has always been fabricating excuses to obstruct development in agriculture and industry, and is certainly interested in destruction at those levels. The Israeli occupation destroyed iron workshops, claiming that the machines can be used for other purposes. But what is the relationship of a sponge factory, or dairy factory, or any other factory? This is an Israeli occupation systematic program to destroy the structure of the economy to achieve political goals.
It is clear now that by targeting factories and workshops, the Israeli aim was to devastate the Palestinian economy. Maybe targeting the Lulz dairy factory in southern Gaza was yet another proof that the Israeli occupation army is working on a systematic plan to destroy any successful industrial facility that would achieve independence of the Palestinian economy apart from Israeli occupation economy.
At the beginning, we established our factory in 2004-2005 with a production capacity of 1 ton of cheese per day. It was bombed during the 2008 war. The Israeli occupation is not enough with what was destroyed during the last war on Gaza, but still destroying. There are dozens or even hundreds of factories that were destroyed after the war. The Lul factory is one of those factories that was destroyed 4 times instead of 1.
Dalul's daily factory was targeted on the first day of Gaza war back in 2008. Then in April 2010, Dalul built another factory in Khan Yunis, some 40 kilometers away from Gaza City, hoping that would stop the occupation from targeting the factory.
I established a factory in Khan Yunis, and we worked with Azda Institution for 4 to 5 months, but the factory was targeted again, and we received a phone call one morning and were told that the factory was destroyed, so workers cannot come to work.
Dalul and all factory workers were puzzled when the factory was targeted again, so they decided to rebuild the factory for the third time, 100 meters away from the ruins of the first factory, which was destroyed in the first time.
This factory was supporting 5 families. I have 10 family members. My brother has 9, and my other brother has 13. We built this factory 100 meters away from this facility. They also targeted the third factory in Gaza in 2010. I am the neighbor of the Dalul cheese factory that was shelled several times before I worked there. Of course, the F-16 bombardment was heavy and caused damage to my family's house and to my own apartment more than once.
After the third chilling, Dalul didn't stop working, but he built a fourth factory on the ruins of his first factory, challenging by that the continued war that was waged by Israeli occupation army on him and his factory.
This factory worked for about a year or more. On the 6th of June 2012, we were surprised that the Israeli occupation targeted it, while there was absolutely no escalation at all in that period. The total loss for my family is now 4 factories that were totally destroyed by the occupation. When a crew from the International Committee of the Red Cross came here after the bombardment, I talked to one of them, and he told me that it was a move to destroy the Palestinian economy. We don't know the reason behind the bombardment till now, and they also failed to reveal the reason to us.
The fourth factory was destroyed. Many people might be thinking there is no point in building a fifth factory, or else it will end up destroyed, like the 4 other factories.
I was establishing the factory I am using now before the other factory was targeted. I established it under my house and my brother's house, so the factory was right beneath us. Today, I have a factory and machinery to produce enough cheese, milk, and labna for the whole Gaza Strip. The occupation is still dealing with us with power, not with morals. We are still building while the occupation destroys. We have no other place than this homeland. We have the industries we learned from our parents and grandparents, so we are steadfast in this homeland.
today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamun alaikum. This is another episode of today's special, which you choose to listen to. Today, we're going to speak about standing against oppression.
Palestine, Palestine, oh Palestine, on your land Allah plays great signs. Though the world sees your scars and hears your cries, Allah is your God and you will survive.
Today, Friday, is the 1st of Jamadi al-Thani, 1445 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 24th of Azar, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 15th of December, 2023, of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We listen to Chapter An-Nisa, verse 148.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. لا يحب الله الجهر بالسوء من القول إلا من ظلم وكان الله سميعا عليما.
Allah does not like the public mention of evil except by one who has been wronged, and ever is Allah hearing and knowing.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
In this verse and the verse next to it, a part of the ethical instructions of Islam are pointed out. At first, the verse indicates that Allah does not like that ill-speaking be performed or the vice and the disgraceful actions of people be manifested by the speech of others. The Quran refers two same affairs that can be counted as the authority for such betraying secrets. It says, except by one to whom injustice has been done. Such persons are right to defend themselves against the cruelty of transgressors.
Salamullah ya Quds, فداك الروح والنفس. Salamullah ya Quds, فداك الروح والنفس. مهاد الدين والتقوى سلام الحب والنجوى وهل يا قدس لا نقوى مهاد الدين والتقوى سلام الحب والنجوى وهل يا قدس لا نقوى وهل يا قدس لا نقوى وكيف المسجد الطاهر بظل الغاصب الكافر وكيف المسجد الطاهر بظل الغاصب الكافر فينمو طرفنا الناعس بليل واهن دامس رعاك الله يا قدس فينمو طرفنا الناعس بليل واهن دامس رعاك الله يا قدس.
About standing against oppression, we learn Islam was revealed to safeguard all people's inherent rights, including their rights to life, property, and freedom. It is a grave sin to violate these rights without justification. And Muslims who assert that the Quran and Sunnah support such injustice are betraying Islam. The fact that Allah would always respond to the supplication of an oppressed individual is one of the reasons we should be wary of injustice. Those of us who fear Allah must remember this simple fact that supplication from those we may oppress is indeed potent. and we should be very mindful of how we treat others. On the other hand, oppressors will have to tend to many potential wrongdoings they have done in the hereafter.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Today we are going to talk about the promotion of Islamic resistance and the whatness and whyness of Islamic resistance and what do we mean by Islamic resistance. In this present time, we have some people wearing the clothes of intellectuality and the like who suggest in the press, in their books and their speeches here and there, that it is no use challenging them, that it is not possible to stand up against them, and that we should accept their terms. The gist of their statements is that we should tell them, write us, thus relieving ourselves of all the problems. I will tell you that the outlook of we cannot results from the same error in calculation, which we explained it before. This is an error of calculation. Such errors of calculation in every matter results from failing to correctly see the different dimensions of the matter. When the issue is about a confrontation, an encounter between two fronts, the error of calculation stems from failing to gain a correct understanding about our own front and that of the other side. When we fail to gain a correct understanding, we will make a mistake in our calculations. However, if we understand it correctly, our calculations will be different. I will tell you, brothers and sisters, that in our calculations on the issue of resistance against global bullies, we should correctly understand the facts about these bullies and the facts about ourselves. One of these facts is our power of resistance.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special. This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life.
Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time. This part is under the title of Rewards of Helping and Supporting the Oppressed. It must be said that among the type of help and assistance through the medium of Da'a is supplicating for the destruction of the enemies and oppressors on His Eminence. As there is no doubt that dua of the believer for the destruction of the oppressors, in a way as per conditions mentioned in the traditional reports of the purified imams, peace be upon them all, are joined together, it is effective. Thus, when the believer is not able to kill the enemy of his imam with the help of real weapons, but he can do it by dua, then it is obligatory on him to do so and get himself included in the helpers and supporters of His Eminence. Therefore, the imams have motivated to curse their enemies, and the prayers for their destruction reaches them.
They've been calling. They've been asking for some help, but nobody seems to care. They are saying, are we no one or more helping? Thought you'd share.
This is a short part of Ayatollah Khamenei's speech on the issue of Palestine. Under this title, Defending Palestine is a Must for All Muslims. The enemies of the world of Islam have always tried to make maximum use of tribal, geographical, and regional differences, and today they are using modern instructions to fulfill their purpose. We should pay attention to this and we should be awakened. They want to busy us with one another so that they can distract our attention from the main point. The issue of occupying Palestine should have made us get close to one another, but they are using it to make us drift away from one another. The issue of Palestine is a clear issue. There is no Islamic denomination that has any doubt about the fact that jihad is wajib for Muslims whenever an Islamic land is under attack. All Islamic denominations share this belief, and there is no ground for disagreement on this matter. However, the enemies cast doubt on this matter, which all Muslims believe in. They create division among Muslims. They provoke denominational and tribal prejudice, and they fuel its fire so that they can freely pursue their goals.
So what is our duty? There's a narration from Imam al-Sadiq, salawatullahi alayhi. Imam al-Sadiq, he reports a narration from the Prophet, where he says, "Man asbaha wa la yahtam bi umur al-muslimin falaysa minhum." Whoever does not care about the affairs of the Muslims, he's not one of them. You're not allowed to be indifferent. Do not give me this whole both sides. There's no both sides. There's an occupier and there's an occupied. We don't need to complicate something. As Sayyid al-Sistani mentioned, the only solution is to end the occupation. That is the solution. You want peace? Peace is predicated and it has to be based on justice, on adl. The Prophet says, whoever does not care about the affairs of the Muslims is not from them. وَمَنْ سَمِعَ رَجُلًا يُنَادِي يَا لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ. And whoever hears a Muslim call out, "O Muslims, help!" and you don't respond, فَلَمْ يُجِبْ فَلَيْسَ بِمُسْلِمٍ. You're not a Muslim. If you turn a blind eye, if you are indifferent, if you are apathetic about what is happening, you might say, "Shaykh, what can I do?" There's a lot that you can do. There are people who are dying of starvation, who have nothing. Bombs are being dropped on their heads. You can donate to the people of Palestine. If you're not able to donate, at least use your networks, use your social media, instead of posting silly videos and wasting your time. Counter the Israeli propaganda that has taken over social media. You be their voice. And today, probably within a couple of hours, internet will be cut off from Gaza. Do you know why? So that Israel can commit genocide and there's no pictures of it. This is what they want.
The topic of this episode of today's special was about standing against oppression. Thank you very much for joining us. We'll leave you in Allah's protection and fi amanillah.
This day will be the last, and tomorrow we all can go home free, and all this will finally end. Palestine, tomorrow will be free. Palestine, tomorrow will be free.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio.